All week we've been talking about student loan debt, and we've been hearing from you. Brianna Moorcroft wrote to tell us she regrets trying to put herself through college. She graduated just before the recession hit, and now she's struggling with unemployment. I want to give my son every chance in the world, she says, but I don't know how I will be able to. James Hayes wrote to us on Facebook saying a large part of the problem is students no longer get the proper basic financial skills they once got in high school. Well, today we're going to talk about this problem with two reporters who've been looking at some potential solutions. Eric Westervelt covers education for NPR. He's with us from KQED in San Francisco. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Michael Stratford is with us from Washington. He covers federal policy for Inside Higher Ed. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
And I want to ask you both first, just right out of the gate, is there a solution? Is there a silver bullet to this problem? If only somebody did X, Y, Z, we wouldn't have a student debt crisis in this country, Eric?
Jeremy, I think there is no silver bullet to this. You know, whether you're looking at income-based repayment plans or looking at some of the presidential candidates' plans, there's no silver bullet. But central to this is that, you know, family income has been flat and average college debt has been rising annually. And the burden of paying for college in the wake of the Great Recession has shifted fundamentally from state and federal governments onto families. And a majority of states today are spending less on higher ed per student than before the recession. So that's why, you know, many advocacy groups, you know, are calling for states to boost spending on higher ed and return to these pre-recession spending levels and for the feds to boost investment in Pell Grants. But politically, you have to look at whether that's realistic and whether that's going to happen. And if not, what are the other plans out there like income-based repayment?
Well, how much of this is about for-profit colleges? This is one of the things our listeners have been writing in telling us, oh, this is all about the for-profit colleges. That's what's driving up all this student debt. Michael, is that really the driver?
You know, I think on a lot of objective metrics of student debt, whether students are repaying their loans, for-profit colleges as a whole, as a sector, don't look very good. There are many different types of for-profit colleges, but certainly it's the case that students at their institutions disproportionately default on their student loans and struggle to pay their debt. But it's certainly not just constrained to that sector of higher education.
Well, Eric, one of the students that we heard from this week is named Joelle Stangler. She's graduating from the University of Minnesota next year with about $30,000 in debt. We asked her who she blames for the crisis, and here's what she said.
Coming from a public school, a public land-grant university, I think states have shirked their duty in funding higher education. You're seeing a huge, huge decrease in what the state is willing to bear. And so that's who I would blame in this particular circumstance, but I think that the issue is multifaceted and comes from a lot of different problems.
So that's her view. And then we put that question to Mitch Daniels, the former Indiana governor who's now president of Purdue University, and he says that spending is not the issue.
It's sometimes, I think, exaggerated by schools defending their cost structures, but it is absolutely true that the avalanche of requirements, regulations, reports that are required by the federal government could step back from a lot of this.
He's saying deregulation from the government would help. As you hear those two clips, what do you think, Eric?
Well, it's interesting to hear the divergent views. You know, people want to point fingers. It's a complex and confusing problem. There's a lot of terrain to go over. I mean, I think, you know, some people 5 years ago said, look, the tech and online learning revolution, that's going to have a big impact on helping reduce, you know, student debt. It's going to change things. It didn't. In fact, you know, you could argue the opposite. In many ways, the online learning boom, you know, aided and abetted the expansion of some of these predatory for-profit colleges like Corinthian went bankrupt and was charged with fraud. So a lot of times when looking at both the problem and the solution, we have to look at the many factors involved.
I want to ask you about that, Michael. What about the idea that if schools can do more online learning, more MOOCs, that would somehow reduce the cost and make it manageable?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a solution that has garnered a lot of attention in higher education. And related to that, the Obama administration just came out recently and said they want to seed some experiments in the field to that effect. They're talking about testing out on a pilot program basis the possibility that some federal money, Pell Grants and other types of federal aid would go to some of these new innovative providers of higher education, like coding boot camps that are very targeted and connected to a very specific type of job.
Eric, one of the things people have been hearing on the campaign trail is Bernie Sanders saying that all public colleges and universities should be free. It is the way that where you are in the University of California, when it started back in the day, it was essentially free. It's not anymore. Is that even possible at this point anymore to get back to that?
I think it's going to be a hard, difficult road to get back to that point. I mean, Sanders' proposal, College for All Act, as he calls it, you know, again, is looking at tuition at public colleges and universities. And yeah, he wants the federal government to cover 2/3, I believe, the cost of tuition, and the states would pay for the rest. You know, I think it's politically going to be really tough to go back there. Hillary Clinton has proposed this new college compact that would, you know, earmark some $350 billion to help millions of students pay tuition and reduce interest rates. Again, how are you going to pay for it if they talk about taxes on the wealthy? Getting that through Congress, getting it actually in the real world post-election, post-campaign is going to be tough.
Well, would it be any easier, Michael, for the government to help with loan forgiveness for people who don't make enough money to pay back their loans and they're just sitting on this huge mountain of debt?
Yeah, it is. And the government is already doing that. The federal government, if you have federal student loans, you can choose from a number of different programs that allow you to cap your monthly payments as a percentage of your income. And then if you make payments for a certain period of time, usually 20 or 25 years, and you still haven't paid off the loans, the government comes in and forgives that debt. The popularity of these programs under the Obama administration has really soared as the administration actively promotes it, but it's only a small fraction of borrowers who are actually taking advantage of these programs.
I just add to that, Jeremy, that, you know, several of these income-based plans, as I understand it, there's some data from the Department of Education that shows that delinquency rates for those plans, you know, are down. So that's good news. As Michael points out, more people are using them. And next month, the administration will announce, we're told, you know, yet another income-based plan, and it's already getting some high marks. It's called Repay. It will be for all direct student or government-backed student loans. And, you know, again, repayment of student debt is capped at 10% of your discretionary income. It won't have any financial hardship requirement. It will be different because other income-based plans are constrained by, you know, when you borrowed. And with this announced next month, it's expected it won't matter when you borrowed or what your debt-to-income ratio is, and that will still leave several other income-based plans floating around there. And a lot of people have said, why don't you consolidate these, Congress, and make them one easy to use, easy to understand plan? And so far, you know, that hasn't happened. That's a simple, potentially simple move that would really help people. If you consolidate all these income-based plans, you know, into one easy to use one.
Well, if they're so great, how come everybody's not using income-based repayment plans?
One challenge is people knowing about them. In the past few years, there's been an active campaign to advertise them and make sure borrowers know about them. So sort of publicity of them is important. But it's also administratively difficult in some cases or challenging for borrowers to enroll in these plans. You have to re-up and recertify your income every year. And there's been some criticism of the loan servicers that they're not doing a good enough job advising borrowers of their options and helping them fill out the paperwork and take the necessary steps to actually avail themselves of these benefits.
So if what you're saying is that there's not going to be, you know, major loan forgiveness across the board, there's not going to be free college, are we going to get into a situation where high school students are spending a lot more time thinking about how they're going to make money after school and they're going to go into majors that can make them money and we're going to lose the people who study French literature and people who study, you know, history and all that because they're not going to be able to afford to go to college and pay it back if it's going to be so expensive and so difficult?
Jeremy, I think that's a real fear. Will people avoid some humanities topics because they don't say, you know, what's the job prospect out there? Already in the STEM fields, the science, technology, engineering, and math, you know, companies are having a tough time filling all those jobs. You want to encourage more people to go into STEM and not look at the sticker shock and say, no, I'm going to go into, you know, coding only because I know I can get a job in Silicon Valley doing that. That's a big fear. I do have to say, you know, the fact that we're talking about this, that the presidential candidates are talking about it, that they've come out with detailed plans, that questions about college debt, you know, are coming up in debates. That's huge. You know, that wasn't happening even just one presidential cycle ago. I mean, policymakers, politicians, the media, we're all paying attention to this like never before. And it's not just about politicians, you know, courting millennials. I mean, student debt has been a big issue for a long time, and now families, politicians, policymakers are finally sort of giving it the attention it deserves.
I would just agree with what Eric says. The way this is being talked about is really different. And if you just go back and look at how student debt issues were talked about in the 2012 presidential campaign, it was really a discussion about sort of tinkering at the edges and tweaking the interest rate on student loans. And now candidates are talking about sort of these large overhauls of our entire system of higher education. I think that just speaks to the level of concern about these issues.
That's Michael Stratford, who covers federal policy for Inside Higher Ed, and Eric Westervelt, who covers education for NPR. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you,
Jeremy.
And Eric, we're going to see you right here in Boston when you come and fill in as a co-host with me on Here and Now. We're looking forward to that in December.
Looking forward to it, too. See you in a few weeks.
And if you missed any of our series on student debt, you can hear it at hereandnow.org. This is a conversation that, of course, continues online at hereandnow.org and on social media. We're at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. And, of course, the issue of student debt isn't going away, and we will continue to cover it here and now.